Oh, hey. There we are.
Hey, okay. Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. It's a TV show.
Right. With Judy, Nathan.
And Robert.
Robert. And
Annette.
Right. And well, we won't talk too much about elections, but I just asked Robert, I said, what's with early voting and caucuses? I mean, do you think they had enough trouble in Iowa, but they're actually early voting in Nevada.
Yeah.
Started yesterday.
And my understanding is that nobody there seems to know how they're going to merge voting stuff with
They did get rid of the app that they were going to use, that Iowa used, the shadow, whatever. But,
you know, I am a registered Democrat, and I have to tell you, to the members of my party, please get your act together. Come on.
But the one thing that's good is that they can choose up to 5 candidates. The new rules in Iowa were they only could do 2.
Right, and it's sort of I don't know what the rules are. Is it like a ranked choice system where you whittle it down to only those candidates?
Well, not in a caucus. It's like who you can convince. There's no ranked choice there.
All right.
You keep going and look, the Democratic convention, everyone is going to be a brokered convention.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm
hoping and praying that that's
And you
exactly
know, Mike Bloomberg made the debate stage.
He sure did.
They're going to give him a little step stool.
Honestly, he'll probably need
that. No, seriously, he's 5'4".
Is he 5'4"?
5'4".
Okay, he's like a little Robert Reich.
Yeah. Hmm. And, that's true.
And he's from Medford, Massachusetts.
Medford. Yeah. And they think it might be the two Jews that go for it at the end. Bernie and Bloomberg. Then you got Biden. They got a lot of B's there.
Yeah.
That wasn't derogatory when I said the two Jews. I mean, I'm Jewish. I think I can say Jews.
You can say that,
I think it's hysterical.
I'm not allowed
actually. You're not allowed to. You've got the capitalist.
Anyway, I'm looking for it. People talk about it like as if that's a crisis. Like, oh my God, we may be stuck with a brokered convention.
I know.
I'm thinking,
woo, fun.
Please give me a brokered convention.
So anyway, so that's tomorrow night. The debate, that debate's at 9:00. Tonight, you know, there's a Markey, right after us,
Markey Kennedy
live on GBH.
Now, is this Jimmy Browdy?
Moderated by Browdy and Egan.
And Egan. Oh,
so that'll be on streamed radio, whatever. I'm sure you can catch it later, but I'm going to go home and watch it because I think that's interesting.
Cool.
So other than those things. We have.
And by the way.
It
was, you know, one of the people who was sort of big with the Fair Vote, you know, the ranked choice voting promoters nationwide. People have been likening things like some of these caucus systems to the transferable votes and things we use in our PR elections.
Really?
And I think it's kind of an inappropriate connection.
Yeah.
It isn't really that way. Once you vote, you go home, you wait for the results.
It's in person. You know who you voted for. A little different than...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, one of the things that I've noticed, I'll say it because I looked at the ballot data from the state of Maine gubernatorial election, which I think was in 2018.
Because they adopted, right?
Yeah, so they were doing that, and it was like Hoar, H-O-A-R, Poliquin, forget the person who went. Anyway, it doesn't matter who they are.
Yeah.
But I was looking at the ballot data, and you're supposed to rank, there were 4 candidates, you could rank for up to 5. That's 5.
Yeah.
And and there were actually ballots, actually more than just a few of the well-educated, ranked choice voting voters who just would go Poliquin, across. You know, as if I'm giving him all my 5 votes.
Does that matter? No.
No,
it doesn't count.
Just one
you only
vote.
Get one vote per person.
Right, and if that candidate doesn't win, it transfers to you next, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so these will be no transfers.
They did an inadequate job of voter education in Maine.
But also, it says to me that unless it's my candidate, I don't care who it is, I'm not going to vote for them. And I'm afraid that might happen.
The Bernie people, I think, already talk out.
Oh, my God, that they're going to boycott everything.
It's just Bernie, and nobody else. So point of ranked choice voting when, in fact, you're just that stuck in the mud? So, you know, the funny thing about voting system, you can design this perfect system, and it's all based on people behaving rationally.
But if you
but
most people don't think about it until the day before.
Anyway, it's pretty
good
wacky.
Luck on all that.
Yeah. So anyway, might as well mention it right now since last week I gave a little piece of wrong information.
Oh, was it last week?
I think it was last week.
You said it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's a new candidate, Jennifer Fries. Actually, let's let him kick this
one. Why don't you go to that?
Right,
yeah.
All right. So, you know, when everybody's eye, all eyes are on the March 2nd primary, Super Tuesday, presidential primaries, what's going to happen, if the world's going to blow up, et cetera, right? Mm. So who cares really about state elections, state reps, state senators? Well, obviously the candidates do, right?
But it doesn't matter for March 3rd.
No, it doesn't matter at all. None of these things are up soon. March 3rd, pardon me. March 3rd is presidential primary only, nothing else.
We have no ballot.
Actually, excuse me, there's one other thing for ward committees. Of course, in my ward, the current ward chair despises me, so made sure I wasn't listed. So, all right, fine. If you're in
goodness.
Ward 6, write me in.
What?
Right?
Yeah, I'm not ward 6.
Let me tell
you,
inside party politics is the
terrible.
Most crap around.
Yeah.
You know, really
Whoa.
Is crap.
Can we say that on CCTV?
I think you can say crap
can say.
On
TV. Okay,
it's
all
true.
Right.
So anyway, so we do have pieces of 5, it used to be 6, actually, state rep districts within Cambridge.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Only Marjorie Decker's 25th Middlesex district is entirely within the city.
Oh, right.
All
yeah,
the
look
other
at
ones
that.
Straddle
Somerville. Oh, yeah, you can see it right
Watertown
here.
Or elsewhere.
Oh, right? Okay.
So, but anyway, I said that Jennifer Fries was going to be running for the seat being vacated by Jonathan Hecht. That's false. Wrong district.
Okay.
She's basically putting herself up as a challenger.
All right.
To
Dave Rogers.
David Rogers.
How long has he been there? Do you know?
I don't know. Long enough for me to sort of think of him as having been there for at least a couple terms, 2 or 3 terms.
Mm-hmm.
So there is one challenger there for Marjorie Decker. Now that's
Leslie.
That's
Fox.
My district.
Yeah.
No, excuse me. That's not my district. In fact. Yeah, no, that's correct. So,
what ward are you? You're Ward 6.
I'm in Ward 6, but I'm in 6-1. Marjorie's district includes Ward 6, but only Precincts 2 and 3.
Where's 6-1? I don't even see that there.
That's in the Connolly district, which is the reason why I put in, won't somebody please step forward and make a challenge for the seat? Because I'm sick of having this guy as my
Oh, boy.
But Leslie Phillips is the perennial candidate.
It's the revolution.
Challenging Marjorie Decker, Marjorie will again get 85% or more of the vote.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So basically the only people going to vote for Leslie Phillips are people who don't like Marjorie. So,
yeah.
Jonathan Hecht is the person who announced a week ago that
leaving.
He's not
yeah.
seeking re-election.
Mm-hmm.
So I did check the other day, and a fellow mm-hmm. named Steve Owens of Watertown has filed mm-hmm. with Office of Campaign Political Finance, considering the seat. Nobody yet, but there are rumors, and I'm not going to name until we hear.
I just want to see some women kind of come out for that.
There may be a woman some note there.
So maybe by next week we'll know, because maybe they would have filed.
I'm sure there will be at least one Cambridge candidate by the time all is said and done.
So again, tell me, what does that cover? Is it West Cambridge?
Ward 9, Ward 10. Yeah, if you're going out toward Fresh Pond area.
And then
it extends out into.
So is it Belmont or Watertown?
I forget which of these also.
Oh, Watertown right here, I see that.
I didn't live, these are only the precincts that are part of the Cambridge,
yeah.
the Cambridge portion of the district.
Right.
There is a challenger for 8th Suffolk, which is
8th
Jay Livingston.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard of this other person from Boston, mm-hmm. Lynardon. So I don't know if that's a real serious
Oh, and then you have the Senate ones, too.
And as far as I know, nobody is challenging. These are also
Somebody's
elections every
Isn't
years.
Somebody leave? Well, it's not. It's Somerville. It's not us. But I remember Denise Provost.
Yes, Denise
Hasn't
Provost.
She been there a long time?
Yes, she has. And so she's vacating her. Not vacating, but she will not seek re-election. That's a Somerville seat.
Right, totally Somerville, not
totally.
Any.
No piece of Cambridge.
So Patricia Jalen does cover some of
a
us.
A little bit, yeah.
I
9,
see.
9, 10, 11. Actually, that's more than a little bit. Those
yeah,
are pretty,
those are pretty big
precincts.
Big
so,
voting wards. Yeah.
Yeah, so we got Joe Boncour.
Boncour is mine.
Right, Pat Jalen.
Yeah.
And Sal DiDomenico is my state senator.
Right.
I spoke to Sal some time ago. He said he expected a challenger.
Huh.
You know, but I haven't heard anything about it. You know, it's basically the Bernie type candidates who are
our
trying
revolution.
To sort of like get the revolutionaries.
I think
are trying
they're
to get
in
a peace
this year.
Everywhere.
I hate to tell you.
So
I think Mike Connolly's pretty safe.
Well, only because I mean he's this.
Well, he's
going to
be on a presidential ballot with maybe Bernie. You know, and he's.
The presidential primary ballot is March, so he's has nothing.
No,
to do
I meant
in September.
In September,
there will be
but if he gets that, then he will be.
Well,
in November,
you know,
right?
I mean, if Mike Bloomberg ends up as the Democratic nominee.
Oh, is that ever going to happen?
Well, I think in a brokered convention, it very well could happen.
Oh, boy, then people aren't going to
And then some of those Bernie bros will probably say, I'm leaving this country, you evil, how dare you, blah, blah, blah.
And then we'll have Trump again.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm sorry. If those Bernie bros had voted for Hillary,
I agree, but
we might have had Hillary. It's not all that. I know that.
I think a lot of those Wisconsin, Michigan-type voters mm-hmm. who went for Trump was they thought he was the lesser of two evils, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, but the many people did not vote that could have voted there. It was only 50,000 votes in one place.
Exactly. But I think if you put in somebody like Bloomberg, whatever, it's not crazy.
Because he's out of the box, kind of like Trump was. It's true.
Yeah, yeah.
But some people think Bernie is like that too, though. He's that outside the mainstream that he would attract a lot, because he kept saying he could have beaten Trump.
Yeah.
I
don't know. It's just.
But they're going to kill him with a lot of the other stuff. So
Mickey Mouse is looking better and better every day.
Oh, stop. So. Oh, is that what you call Michael Bloomberg?
No. That would be my top choice if that's the choice I have is between Trump and Sanders. I'm going with Mickey.
Oh, come on! You wouldn't vote for Sanders?
No.
You'd put Trump back in?
Nope.
Oh, Robert,
I'm sorry. In Massachusetts,
it's
going to matter. The Democrats.
All right, but I disagree with you because I think that. Never mind. I would certainly. He's not evil. He's not stupid. And you know what? All those things would be moderated. And you know what? He would pick a moderate VP. That's my prediction. And it wouldn't be Warren because they're too much alike.
It's going to be a broker convention.
True. Well, yeah. I don't know.
A broker convention.
Oh, gosh.
Very unlikely he wins. So, anyway, we'll see how it flies. So, anyway, that's a little bit on local elections. So if you've ever thought about running... There are a lot of seats that are being unchallenged.
Well, you do have to be in that ward.
You do have to be in. Actually, the rules are interesting. I think it works for a. I think it's for the. Is it the state senate? I should know this.
I don't know
any
of that.
Because people ask me, they expect I'm supposed to know this stuff, and I don't.
Okay.
I think for state rep, there is like a resident. You have to have been a member of. You have to have been a resident within the district for X number of time. I think maybe the state senate. It's. Less or no such residency. You just have to be there at the time of the election.
Oh, you could move into it. That's true. Isn't that what the one challenging, what's his name? Is it Patrick Kennedy? Who's the one challenging Markey? Patrick Kennedy? Is that his name?
Joe.
He's the son of Joe. Okay. Right. He, I think, moved into that district when he ran the first time. So in that sense, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's federal, but I think it's the same idea that you can move.
For Senate, I mean, Robert F. Kennedy, I believe, moved from Massachusetts to Hillary. New York so that he could run and become elected.
Hillary Clinton.
New York Senate
seat. She didn't live in New York before.
That's right.
Right, and that's right. So that happens all the time.
So it's interesting that the Senate, which is sort of the upper house, has less of a residency requirement than the lower house, but maybe there is a logic to that.
Well, they figure you're going to be there for 6 years or four years, whatever the term is.
Yeah, something like that. That's a long time. Yeah. So anyway, if you ever thought about running for a state rep or state senate seat, think about it now. It's not a bad idea. I think we kind of have a bit of a broken politics in that there's, to be perfectly honest, maybe you do have to be crazy or a career climber to run for some of these seats. But the thing is that's a problem with the system, and we got to fix that.
Well, and it gets worse as you get. I mean, I wish they'd change the whole thing about declaring the candidacy 2 years before an election. I mean, all the money spent, it's pretty obscene.
But the thing is that you can't stop a person from running, even if there's no formal.
Well, why do they do in other countries? It takes 3 months, 2 months, 6 months. But why can't we have a rule? No campaign, no nothing.
Freedom of speech.
Oh, jeez.
Say, I'm planning to be a candidate.
Well, then
shame
them. Why aren't you doing your job in the Senate?
Yeah, I like that idea.
It's interesting that no
sense. Shaming.
Yeah, shaming, right.
And stocks and pillories on the Cambridge Council.
Well, actually, in terms of campaign spending, we bring that up. Like, not make it mandatory, but just say there's a ceiling. This is what we'd like to see you spend. If you spend more than that, we're going to shame you.
Yeah,
Someone's trying to call us.
We don't take calls.
We don't take calls, so hang up. This is not one of those programs.
All right.
We said something that. Irritated somebody.
Oh, it always happens.
Okay,
all right.
Oh, it was probably, I know what it was, too.
Yeah. So, by the way, there are a few things, outside of that, and I think maybe people should be aware of. One of the things, it's sort of small change things, but I mentioned, the city sends out these press releases periodically. I get this whole flood of them, and sometimes I finally get around to actually putting up some of the information. So, I think it was on Sunday, maybe it was Sunday, I forget. So I just sort of put up a big flood of these various information from the city. You know, maybe a few things worth noting. Perhaps maybe the most insignificant of all of them is this announcement that Charlie cards,
oh,
if you want a Charlie card, you can get blanks over at City Hall Annex. Up at the
city, up on the third floor.
Community Development Department.
Yeah.
And I saw that announcement. I said, mm-hmm. Well, that's great. You know, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
But, you know, but then you have to think about that and say, well, what is it? Why aren't there? You ought to be able to just pick those up at the local corner store.
I thought you could.
Supermarket.
I thought you could pick them up at the, I guess not. I mean, if there's somebody on duty in the subway, you can get it, like down Central.
When I get on a bus, I mean, I understand somebody's just got cash, whatever. If they start putting money on their card on the bus, mm-hmm. maybe because they forgot and it ran out, whatever. I understand that as an exceptional thing. But, you know, there really ought to be really simple ways of putting money
on the card.
Why can't
they just dispense a blank card at those machines and then you put the money in? Why is that so hard? Just press card. But you know why? Because they want the ticket because they get more money from the ticket, I guess.
I don't know.
Maybe it's easier. I don't know.
I don't know, but it just seems to me that,
yeah,
and you know, eventually they're going to decide that Charlie Card 2 is the new system that has to be.
Oh, it's going to be on your phone,
special
probably.
Chip, it'll probably be on your phone.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Those of us who have a phone, I guess we have to walk.
Well, I have a phone. I don't do anything like that on my phone. That's not true. Yeah. I do Lyft, but I don't hardly do that.
I've heard rumors, I don't know if it's true, that you can. There are ways of putting money on your Charlie Card. Other ways?
Oh, there are. You can put it online. Yeah.
You can do it online?
Yeah, if you have
it set up. And then what happens? The value shows up the next time you go to use it?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm pretty sure that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, one of these days, I think we'll probably all be going around with either your phone or your universal card that'll do everything for you, right?
Well, we're all going to have a barcode.
Microchips.
We'll have a barcode.
We'll have barcodes. Yeah.
That's headed that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Facial recognition.
Right.
And where's Craig Kelly when we need him? Come on.
Yeah, and then there'll be some of us who will be the outlaws.
We will refuse
to be coded.
You're not even an outlaw. You're like, I don't know what you are. I don't. I think you take it as
rebel.
You take it as a badge of courage or something not to have a cell phone. And I think to me, it's like not learning how to drive for some people or not. I think it's a basic thing to have some kind of phone.
Really?
Even that NCS guy, Mark Harmon, he has a flip phone, but at least he has a phone. You know what I mean? The old fashioned.
Yeah.
He refuses to get. In fact, I tend to watch that show.
My students are hysterical about the fact that I'm like the only person.
Well, because hysterical, I'm surprised they're not angry because they could text you, hey, I'm going to be late.
And. You know, do you realize what an intrusion that is that your students you're on their beck and call 24 hours
no,
a day?
No, they're not going to do that.
They're
going to do their friends. They're not going to.
I know.
Their professor.
Anyway, that's one thing.
So.
Another little piece.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, I have these things all up on the website.
Well, it's good
because
there wasn't a meeting on Monday, but we will talk about the one today.
So, another press release that came out, I think it was also on Valentine's Day, which was last Friday.
Mm.
So, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh,
everybody.
Yeah. That was very nice.
It was you know, usually the city itself is like a sales pitch. You know, they have these like PR flacks who are really sort of trying to put the information out there to put the city in the greatest light possible, right? And this one was really kind of short and sweet. It was called Cannabis Litigation. No rosy title at all, basically.
We're challenging it, right?
Apparently,
they sent them three different,
seeking interlocutory relief or something.
Oh, I was going to ask you, what does interlocutory mean?
I don't know.
Oh.
But I think it means like monkey wrench into the legal, just stop.
Inter meaning in between something,
something
right?
Something like that, yeah.
I'll look it up in our 2 minute break.
So the story was that the Revolutionary Clinics,
They're already paying
places.
Rent on that place.
Right. So they, you know, the law basically says they have a right
to open a recreational
to
flip
medicinal. From medicinal.
Or to do both in the same location.
Yes.
Right?
And they can do that. Yeah. You can't stop them. So the city council comes in and says, excuse please. We'd like to give economic empowerment, social equity applicants a head start. So you can't do that
for
while,
2 years
while we let these guys do their business and build up their business while you wait.
Right.
And they said, wait a minute, that's against the law.
That's against whatever the state was intending based on some stuff.
Got some injunction to
block
the permitting of the others. So now the city is basically coming back, going to a single justice interlocutory relief from the appeals.
They're going to another justice, not the one that ruled on it?
Yeah.
You can do that?
You know, it's a funny thing. Whenever I hear these things like, well, they one justice in the some level of the justice system has declared something to be unconstitutional. I go, well, it's just his opinion. They go, wait a minute, but he's a justice. He can do that.
Well, yeah, that's why federal judges and judges are important.
I know.
What they say says.
Somehow it just seems like just getting...
Well, that's why there's appeals.
Yeah, I know. Appeals to appeals.
So what
appeals.
Does that mean? Can they go... does it delay the implementation? No, the moratorium is in existence right now.
Well, except actually, no. Right now, that was declared... out of
right, but if it rules it. Against them, if we don't, if they get the appeal, then it's going to start even
city,
2 years down the road,
I think,
right?
If I read this correctly, right. If the city has its way, and if in the filing that they made, then they would block the ruling of the judge that would be preventing some of these other pop
right.
shops from opening,
right?
You know, it would be in violation of what Revolutionary Clinics feel was
right
roadblocking their rights, so. Anyway, anybody who followed this knew this was going to get litigated one way or the other.
Yeah.
I
don't understand all this thing about cannabis. It's expensive. It's, medicinal, fine. And we could have up to 4 stores that have already been in Central Square. To me, I want to move. I don't want to live in that kind of world. I don't get why everyone's putting their money on it, literally. Is it really? Is that where we're going?
You know, the way I look at it, it's really that you want to make money, so you open up a business selling hot dogs. So you want to do like.
But who's going to go in there?
But the point is you may, so maybe you make it, maybe you don't. Whereas now people are looking at this sort of
the
green
kind of
revolution here as a possible means of making big money fast.
But I don't see that happening.
I don't know.
They've already done some stuff. You know, the tax and all the stuff that who's going to afford that?
It's been a long time since my wayward youth, so I don't know what the wayward youth is.
So you're going to have economic empowering candidates. Good for them, and they can open it. Who are they selling to? People like themselves?
Probably a lot of boomers, too, who are still pot-smoking boomers.
Hipsters.
With a lot of money.
Well, they're eating it now. I mean,
yeah,
you can't smoke in some of the places you live in.
I know.
I just find it all very disturbing.
I think for at least a little while, it'll be a real moneymaker, but... you know, and I think a lot of the backers of these, because let me tell you, it's not little John Smith,
gathering
up his
pennies to
open
you
up. You got people backing these people.
It costs money to do the
but
testing.
But they're all trying to get in on the ground floor. Everybody's trying to be sort of established.
I mean, all for, people getting some opportunity to do it. It's
so
just
what?
The question of, to me...
But I also believe in legal rights,
Right.
And
but
if Revolutionary Clinics has a legal right to do it, then just because you want somebody to get a break, you can't.
I know, but I don't see why it had to be based on how many liquor licenses we gave out, because that's really what the form.
I think it was the way the referendum or the initiative petition was.
Well,
written.
I didn't vote for the referendum.
Most people
didn't
even read that initiative petition. They
most people
sort of
are still going to buy. Do you know? There's a show called High Maintenance, which has been on for 4 seasons. I haven't watched it. My daughter thinks it's great. It's on HBO, and it's about this guy that delivers pot, and then it's a little different stories in New York. And I don't know. I guess the new season. I don't know if they've legalized it in New York, but, he's just this little guy doing it, and I think that's going to keep going on. You're going to do your friendly pot dealer because it's probably a whole lot cheaper.
It's going to be a lot cheaper. That's right.
You know?
So I think in places like California.
Oh, that's already happening
Colorado,
with the little growers.
Yeah,
or
the black market is still doing just fine.
Yeah. Anyway, well, we'll see where that goes. But maybe we can speak to that, because that was part of the petition today, a little bit on the
Harvard
the
Square
cannabis.
Petition, which they...
Yeah.
Kind of
there was a
I
hearing,
think, kind of,
a special meeting
kind
today.
Kind of wacky procedural
yeah.
mishaps, really.
Yeah.
So not that, tune in next week for what it's really about.
Well,
honestly,
it's going to be at the council meeting.
Right. So
yeah.
Right. But the thing is that the expiration date of this Harvard Square zoning
March
petition
10th.
Overlay is March 10th. But
yeah.
The thing is that somebody kind of screwed up a bit.
Mm.
And the timing is such that they had to schedule a special meeting today, which I went to, just so they could pass it to a second reading. So that it would be in the queue for possible ordination. Now, the thing that would confuse me, because I took the information from the CDD website, was that they said you need 14 days advertisement. What I didn't know is that the clerk, even prior to passing the second reading, had already shipped it off to the newspaper, so it would be in time. So that and actually the debate, the biggest part of the debate at this meeting was why, in fact, we can't really change any of the language other than superficially today, because if we did, it'll violate the advertisement that we already sent to the press.
I see, yeah.
So consequently, can we just wait till next week was basically the decision. And then they'll talk more detail about some actual, some more serious amendments.
Well, I don't know if they're serious amendments. According to Carlone, he went over them with the proponents who agreed with some. It's more of making it a little better.
I think Carlone is spot on. He's thinking about this correctly. Right. And he
kept saying, this is, you know, pro-development. Right. We're not taking away anything. It's just a little tweaks.
Dennis knows his urban design stuff. And he was basically has an issue with what he calls wedding cake design.
So
this sort of silly kind of design where you see these buildings stacking away. He says, no. I mean, some buildings in major squares should come up with a real street wall.
Yeah.
And that's really what's best. And it'll actually give them more developable potential.
True. So that should be limited. Right.
And I agree with him. I think it's right.
Yeah.
I mean, this sort of wedding cake, so-called buildings.
Right.
Sometimes that's okay. Like if you're down by the river.
Well, it makes it feel like, oh, we're not really encroaching on your street. Well, it's kind of what happened over here.
So anyway, there's a place for it, and maybe Harvard Square isn't really the place for that.
Yeah.
So I'm with Dennis on this. I hope he prevails on that. But anyway, so that will be
discussed more fully on the next meeting.
If it was based on what is on strictly on the CDD website, they would actually have had to schedule yet another special meeting after March 2nd, because the March 9th meeting was canceled and 10th is the deadline. Turns out, they can actually ordain it on March 2nd because they'd snuck the advertisement out the door early.
Well, March 2nd is a
regular city council meeting.
Right, but they're going to discuss it on this coming.
But they can talk about it next week, and then they can do the ordination.
I see, because that would be 10,
meeting. All right. So, anyway, there are some interesting details about it.
Yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit about the cannabis retail thing. I didn't really understand
There were some prohibitions about cannabis retail in it, and so they kind of want to remove those prohibitions. So.
Well, let's talk about it, because I don't know what that means.
Okay. Anyway, so we're just about to finish with this segment. We'll be back in a few minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.
See you then.